that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. It is Saturday morning, December 16th, 2023. And we welcome you, Remnant. Thanks for joining us. And we'll have the phone lines open today. And Brother Paul, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Josh, way down south, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And again, Remnant, we say good morning and welcome. And got a couple current events to talk about this morning. We'll just see how it goes. Josh, would you want to open us up in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the countless blessings that you pour out upon us daily, Lord. Pray that you'd help us to see those blessings, Lord, and to be thankful for them and have an attitude of gratitude, Lord. We pray that you'd forgive us of our sins, cleanse us, purify us, and perfect us, Lord. Pray that our nation, Lord, would be able to see their sin, Lord, and turn away from it and turn back to you, Lord, and repent. Lord, we pray that we'd have one of those 2 Chronicles 7:14 revivals here throughout the land, Lord, and we get back on track to loving you, Lord, and to seeking the kingdom here on earth. Lord, we know that's where we are blessed, is whenever we're found in line and doing what we're supposed to be doing, Lord. So I pray that you'd help each of us today, Lord, to do our part, yeah, being where we're supposed to be, Lord, lining up with you. And that we continue to do that every morning whenever we get up, Lord. Seek your will for us and for our families, Lord, and your kingdom. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, amen. Well, I guess I'll just jump right in on this. I don't know if you saw what happened in at the Iowa State Capitol on Thursday. Of course, they've got a little, a little manger display set up, and a little nativity scene set up over there. And according to their understanding, they have to, allow the Satanic Temple a little display as well. So the Satanic Temple had a display of Baphomet, body of a man, head of a goat, had been, and they'd allowed the Satanic Temple to place it in the state capitol earlier in December, of course, to in opposition to the nativity scene that was there. And on Thursday, you had Michael Cassidy, a former Navy pilot and a Christian, walked up and beheaded the statue, threw the head in the trash can, and then called the police and said, hey, this is what I've done. And he said, the world may tell Christians to submissively accept the legitimization of Satan, but none of the founders would have considered government sanction of satanic altars inside Capitol buildings as protected by the First Amendment. Anti-Christian values have been, and this is a quote from the guy that did this, anti-Christian values have steadily been mainstreamed more and more in recent decades, and Christians have largely acted like the proverbial frog in the boiling pot of water. He said, he also cited 1 John 3:8, which states that the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And he cited that as further justification for tearing down the statue. And so he's been charged fourth degree criminal mischief. I guess that ain't too crazy. But anyway, I heard a little blurb of that on the radio, and I tell you, nobody was carrying it. I had to look and look and look, and I finally found a an article on it. Because this, doing something like this, I sure don't think it it meets the criteria for what the news media is want to push and promote and talk about it. Don't want to give anybody else any ideas. Does that seem to be along the lines, guys?
Yes, sir. I would think so.
I mean, when Gideon went and tore down his father, the father's idol, and they saw it, they knew who had done it, but it encouraged the people. I don't know if it kind of broke the spell or if they just woke up to what was going on, but it brought about a change. And I can't help but think that that maybe this guy doing this. And I found out about it. I had a neighbor text me that said that had told me about it. The neighbor said, "Love it. Forget about waiting for justice. Just take matters into the servant's hands." And sent a screenshot of it. And anyway, interesting things going on that you might not see on Fox News. Just thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, I seen a thing in the Range magazine some time ago, and they quoted a Jewish man. He said that we need to get control of the news media, and they certainly do have control of it. They can, just like something like that, they can just about stop it in its tracks. Where, if they catch a priest or something doing something wrong, they put it across the whole nation. They are in total control of the news media.
Right.
But I guess it's got to get so silly, even like your laws up in Washington, that tell the American people say that's enough. Them first 15 verses of Deuteronomy 28 is a whole lot more pleasant than the rest of it.
Amen to that. Amen. Well, guys, let's try the phone line this morning. Got the phone ringing. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard, Paul, and Josh this morning.
Good morning.
This is Floyd.
Good morning.
Good morning, Floyd. Got a comment for us this morning?
Well, yeah. You know, I was quick into my mind. Well, you mentioned one person in the Old Testament, that the Gideon, but actually Abraham. That's why he became the father of four faith. He rebuked his father, and his uncle had to keep him safe because his father was after him for tearing down his father's idol.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it wakes up the people to not be overly subservient. I mean, there's a place for us to be servants to those in charge, but not to the point where it violates God's way, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we're to make that stand to say, no, this is God's land.
You
know,
right.
And the thing that really gets me about the guy in Iowa, he did it responsibly. He turned himself in, gladly took the charges.
Like Brother Paul said, you know, the media, I mean, I did. I spent probably 10 or 15 minutes this morning trying to find this news article. And
yeah, the media don't want that to go out.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all.
But here's what else I wanted to say. I read it in Ecclesiastes a week ago, and I've caught it in other prophecy books. But this is a mad cycle that started with the children of Israel when they said we can't take the promised land, and they ended up walking around the desert for 40 years with their eyes not faithfully following and trusting and obeying God. So God turns us over to the evil until we cry out to him again. And that's a mad cycle that has to constantly repeat itself. And we went through this mad cycle, and the people are crying out, it's about for us to have our jubilee.
I agree with that. I do. I think people are waking up, and that's...
I believe we're going to have one here real soon.
Yep.
But I don't know. You know, I listen to certain reports that I believe y'all do too, but I'll leave it at that.
All right, Floyd. Thanks for the comment. Thanks for the call.
Yep. All right. You take care. God bless.
All right. Yeah, that's what makes America great again. That's the only thing that will, is repentance and returning to God. But the people, they just don't know. You know, that's a big part of it. They've been taught by these false pastors, these false teachers, that they are either, as pastor said, they are either deceivers or they've been deceived, and they're just repeating what they've been told. It's one or the other, and it just like that old cowboy saying, it ain't so much what we don't know, it's what we know that just ain't so. And it's frustrating to see those things and to know those things and not have it as, you know, you might say, what, common knowledge. I think one way you can combat that is with the Bible reading plan. If you'll read your Bible, and we encourage you, we've got the new Bible reading plan for 2024 out. It's just a straight through, start in Genesis and read it. Two or three chapters a day. And it's a good way to build up a Bible reading discipline. You do about the same thing every day, and it's real easy too if you want. That starts in the Old Testament, but if you want to start in the New Testament as well, you just flip it over. And the New Testament reading list is on the back, and so you can sure do that if you want to do it that way. And And we encourage you to do that. I know we've got people that are ordering them in multiples and passing them out. And I encourage you to do it. To, you know, read it with the viewpoint that the scriptures are it's a story about a people. Same people. Let's try the phone lines again. Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello.
Good morning. Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. This is Edie in North Carolina.
Yes.
I'm not sure if everybody knows this, but I bought a book a while back written by a Jewish guy telling what it was like to grow up as a Jew. And he was very, very honest. And one of the things that they do is they come up with, you know, everybody sees it, flying pigs. You see it in movies and statuary and stuff like that. Well, that is their word, that's their code word for Jesus. They're saying that he didn't die and he didn't fly, and they're calling him a pig. So the next time you're out riding about and you see somebody's yard decorated with a flying pig, know where that comes from. It's not just Baphomet. Sometimes it's these sweet little innocent-looking pigs with wings that insult our God.
Okay. Thanks, Edie. Thanks for sharing that.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, there's really no realization to the depths of our enemy. And I think that's another thing that our people, they don't realize. They don't understand.
You know, Richard, you say you read the Bible. You can read the Bible. I read the Bible an awful lot. But like Pastor Peter said, people know their Bible, but they don't understand their Bible until someone shows you who that people is. And it's in the Bible, but many times you won't catch it because of your religious background and stuff like that. So, yeah, you can read it and read it and read it, but sometimes you got to be shown by someone that knows. You go back into the creation, and this is where it all starts. Ye man, God made man and woman. He rested the seventh day, and then he created another man out of the earth. And you look up what Adam means. It's able to blush red. There's only one race that can blush
right
and turn red in the face, and that separates the people and who we are. I mean, we're watching this nation. Michigan State University just put a black woman in the president of it. When they, you know, that's to keep with God's word. And the woman and the stranger will rule over you. And this is going on left and right. But the men of this country don't want to be fathers. I had this youth group, and I've told this before, you know, many times, and I figured it out. The kids were, they didn't have a dad. And so Charles Stanley had this really excellent sermon on the father, the child every father needs. And I tricked these people in to come into this meeting. There was a two-part series, and they all came there because I tricked them. Their wives were sitting out in the car for an hour listening to this, and then they didn't. Not one person came back for the second tape, and that's the problem right there. The men aren't men; they're not God-fearing men. We were tied up in this idolatry that the state has rule. I mean, look at the churches that shut down because the state said to shut down. You know, with Pastor Peter's one, and a couple other churches didn't, but I'm telling you, most of them just do what they say. You know, they're 501c3, they're state churches. They tell you Jews are God's chosen people. You just get out of there because there's nothing there. Go out in the woods and find out what's going on. But yeah, my point is, yeah, you can read the Bible until you understand the Bible is a different thing. You know, I would be really upset right now if I didn't understand that God brought Israel through the Red Sea, through Europe, and into here, because he's not done with us. I know that. That's why they say, oh, America's done, and no, America's not done. Our enemies are done, but we got to make this so silly, just like, you know, filling billions of gallons. I spilled a little gas, filled my lawnmower a couple times myself, you know, so I know what it's just a dab. But the thing of it is, it's got to get so silly until we turn back to that God. God's law is liberating, the perfect law of liberty. And then when I read that the first time, how could law be liberty? Well, now I understand it is. Because right. if we don't do this stuff, then we have this stuff. It's that simple. If we do it his way, we have our own vine to lay under and everything. This whole system is antagonistic to real life.
Amen.
Well, and also, too, to the conversation of reading your Bible, we should, and I don't read my Bible enough, but if you spend an hour a day reading your Bible and 10 hours a day watching TV and being programmed, that's not a real good ratio. And you're not, I don't think any of us are immune to the programming that they have got in place. When you watch that garbage enough, even if it's just for informational purposes, whatever, however you want to color it, to see what they're doing, it affects you. And we just need to be careful about that, to not sit there in front of that TV and to not let them have power over us through what we're doing every day. Because, if it doesn't, even if you do know what they're doing and you sit there and watch that TV, you're going to get mad because, you know what's on there, but when you see it, you just can't help it because it's so wrong, and we know it's wrong. And so we just got to be careful what we're looking at every day, what we're exposing ourselves to, and guard ourselves, and then be looking, always have those eyes up and seeing what's going on around us. And when they tell you something, don't take it for face value. Try to figure out what's really going on.
That's right. Amen.
Well, last night I was going through the TV station, and nothing to watch. So, but they had some Christmas programs, all to do with Santa Claus and everything else. Not one, hardly one. Then one, they sing a Christmas hymn and stuff like that. But the whole foundation is just totally screwed up. Chris. I don't know. It's just lately Christmas has been bothering me because you can't be too much of a Scrooge, but. What does Santa Claus have to do with Jesus' birth? And you talk about double-mindedness. And what does Easter eggs have to do with the death of Christ? It's just constantly tainted wherever we look. You still know that I am the Lord. Shut the news off.
Amen.
And is this? I don't care for the holidays a whole lot, but you gotta also look at the opportunity. There is opportunity sometimes that comes from being able to talk to somebody about Jesus in whichever one of the holidays it is. Even if it's Halloween, there's opportunity there to talk about good versus evil. When we get those opportunities, we need to take them. And if somebody is open to hearing and being receptive, then we need to share with them and talk about it. And then also to realize that everyone's got a point of saturation. And I think, Paul, you probably were the first one to teach me about that, knowing when it's time to shut up, because especially younger Christians or what have you, they can only handle so much, and then they shut down, and then you actually start going backwards. So don't give a baby a drink of water from a fire hose.
Right.
So many religious people look down on people, and a person knows right away if you're talking down to them or on the same level. The Bible says, "Be still, know that I'm the Lord. Listen much and speak little." And that's the thing with a person. If you're going to get into their mind, you don't talk down. You got to meet them where they're at. Because lots of people out there with questions that nobody's answering. Oh, just go to church, you'll be happy. And you got these big smiling idiots on these mega churches that, it looks good from the road. But there's a lot of grief comes with the truth. When you start getting the truth, you're going to... first of all, it's going to affect your own spirit, and then the people around you that you think are looking for it really aren't. It's really kind of a setback to get the truth for me. It was, but I couldn't give up, and then I would really not care to be in their shoes. But it was a rough road to get where I'm at today. I will tell you that, and a lot of disappointment, loss of heartache, and but it's all worth it. Blessed are my afflictions. When you get you're being afflicted, you just ask God, what are you trying to teach me now? And that's what I did. And, not that I got all the answers, but that's what I did just to survive. But it is a rough road getting off, you know, the religious comfort road. And my take on it.
Well, they got a pretty good setup, a pretty good game, you know, to just free us from any amount of responsibility. And all you got to do is just float along until you actually float along. And then that's it, you know, as long as you give till it hurts to your pastor. That's really the only requirement.
It is, you know, and it's I don't know, it's a good journey. I'm just telling you, it's well worth it. And, you know, with, there's no game without pain, with exercise or anything else. And Jesus would reject it. I have a saying, and Jesus died alone, I might too, you know, and that's an absolute truth. But we don't know anybody out there. This guy that went in Capitol there and turned that off, you know, they're out there. We don't know how many they are. And you know, that little song I said, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stay alone. Sometimes that's what you got to do. But we've been taught to tolerate.
That's tolerate.
Oh, yeah. You know, and that First Amendment ain't nothing to do with a strange religion. That's the people's division of religions amongst us. You know, if you take the Baptists or what all they are, there's some, you know, differences. But then that we have to accept that. But we don't have to accept the stranger. We're not supposed to, as I see it.
You know, that walk that you're talking about is also a path that takes constant maintenance. It's so easy to get away from where we're supposed to be. And so you got to work at it every day, put in the effort into the relationship with God, and constantly examining yourself. Same way as, you know, just a regular friend. If you don't talk to that friend for however long, you tend to drift apart. You know, you got to put in the time and the maintenance. The same thing, if we don't talk to God and listen to God and seeking his will, then you can drift apart. And then it doesn't take long to figure out, if lonely away from him and you don't want to be there, you're not better off away from him. And so we should always be trying to draw near. It's
Well, I think having a smile on your face and an upbeat attitude and everything is as much influence on people as preaching to them. There's so many, you know, so many, my in-laws, my son-in-laws, they're all missionaries. And I said to them, what are they doing in Haiti at the condition that their town is in? You know, and that's true. Mostly, you know, I've seen very, very few missionaries that I had any use for once you got to know them. There was one that was in North Africa, and what he was doing, he was taking a Muslim, he was giving him a good, solid trade and sending him back into the thing. Now, that was right. He didn't know the identity, stuff like that. But he was the only one that was influenced the whole system because, you see, you got to meet a person where they're at. We eat every day and everything like that, and that's where we're at. But, you know, they want to get to heaven on a magic carpet and, you know, get raptured out of here. Well, that's just, you know, God's going to have to apologize to all the martyrs that died for what they believe. And these people living in la-la land today, I think the day is coming where you're going to have to choose God or whatever you want to do. You know, the Bible says you won't buy or sell without Martha McGee. Now, I figured out he's going to take care of me somehow, and if he don't, so be it. But that is coming. Not too far down the road, because they're putting the clamps on stuff. But, you know, God sets in the heavens and laughs. And they're not going to make it. They're come real close, though.
Last night, I was with a group of friends, and we were talking about just how spoiled we are and how blessed we are as a people.
Yes.
And I was talking about, you know, whenever I was a young boy, our family, we had a little Nissan car that the floorboards are rotted out in. You can see the road going by underneath you. And, you know, when it rained, water would splash up, and we put floorboard raincoats on the floorboard and what have you. And just the fact that even at that point, how blessed we were, you know, and we're riding down the road last night in a big Ghoulie truck with heated seats and a heated steering wheel, you know, big computer screen in the dashboard. But even in that little Nissan car, I guess it was a Datsun, but I think it was the same back then. Anyway, we were so blessed and had it so much better than most of the people in the world, of having our own vehicle and having plenty to eat and having clothes to wear and somewhere to live. And now we're just so spoiled, so fat and happy that we're just out of touch with reality and how well we've got it. And we don't give God the credit that we should. And that's a dangerous place to be.
Well, we are the prodigal son of the Bible. You know, we've left our God. And, you know, it's better to go home and be a keeper, you know, a doorpost and a keeper of heaven than all the glories that this system has, because there's no love in this system. You go to Washington, D.C., there's no love there. The only bond is money.
Right.
And they're all on the take. It's, you know, the whole thing of some people going there with their good intentions, but they've never been able to make a difference. It's just so corrupt. And the reason is people don't know what sin is. If you knew what sin was, that would change everything. You know, it would. The law of God says that it converts the heart. And when you read the law, and know what, there was a Finney. He was a big evangelist in this country. When he went to law school, and that kept referring to the Bible. Well, he got reading into the Bible, and I don't know that much about Finney, but he had a big impact on this country because he had no religious background whatsoever. And I think sometimes that's a hindrance to us. We come with, well, I was Baptist, or I was that, I don't believe that. It don't matter what you believe. It's what the Bible says. You know, but he had a huge influence on this country because he started reading the Bible. And he was studying law to become a lawyer, what he was, but they always were referring back to the Bible, so that's how he got into it. But that's the difference right there. If you read that, read the law, read Leviticus, read Deuteronomy, that'll change things. You know, it changes everything because, see, these attorneys or these judges now, they make edicts. That's not their job. Their job is to be a referee between two opposing forces and make sure it's carried out properly. You know, when they stood up in the early days when the judge walked in, the reason they stood up because he was carrying the Bible. It wasn't because he had some robot or something. He was carrying the Bible, and God's law was respected back then. And hope for to have them days again. When you go back into Samuel when they wanted a king, see, what God wants of us is Christian self-government, where I can govern myself. I do this, I do that, you know right from wrong. And that was the thing. They wanted a king because they didn't want the responsibility of being looking in the mirror and, hey, you know, I just read a quote the other day, don't listen to anybody that criticizes you unless they're right. And that's true.
And we know it if it's true. And we know it if it's true. And so it is, yeah. I like that. If you know that it has a sounding, if you know it has a foundation, then, yeah, just let's take it and change, right? That's that self-government, that judge yourself so that you don't have to be judged.
And it's good for you.
Yes.
It's not easy to take a lot of time, but whenever people have offered correction to me in the past, and whenever I was wrong and changed, I was thankful for that correction because I'd rather be correct. I'd rather be right with the Word of God and where I'm supposed to be than feel like I'm right. and got it all figured out. So it's a humbling thing, but you know, it sure doesn't hurt us to be humble either. A lot of times it's not real fun, but sure is good for you. Kind of like those bitter herbs.
I look at my own life back before I was a Christian. You know, when somebody corrected me and they were right, I had the utmost respect for them to this day, and I can just about tell you everyone that did. You know, they set me right on my tail. I had it coming. And I respect them to this day because they were right and they corrected me. And you know, and that, I guess that's the difference between pride and not. You know, if you have pride, you can't be taught anything. You know, God hates pride. God hates divorce, and that's all about pride and division. Your words got to be gold. Yes is yes, no, no. Don't play games, you know, and this is what we do. Well, I didn't really mean it. I didn't know then. Well, yeah, there's probably a lot of things I wouldn't do if I knew all at the end, you know, but, yeah, that's how you get there. No, it's a pretty exciting time. You know, we see the people, you know, that's the biggest thing of politicians, that they make law. You don't make law. I got a neighbor here, he's in down in Lansing and stuff. He sent out a letter. He always got to make some rules to get rid of China. I said, I don't like the guy. He's a Baptist idiot is what he is. Other than that, he's a pretty nice guy. But, yeah, he's going to make rules to, you know, ban China. Well, that's nothing like shutting the door after the horse gets shaped. I just laughed, you know, but he really thinks he can make a difference. But I'll tell you, religious people are about the worst people to send to Lansing or Washington because they're double-minded from the word go.
Yeah, and it's kind of a knee-jerk reaction, but whenever you see somebody with their backwards Jesus fish on the car, you know, whatever, wearing a sign saying I'm a Christian, normally you know that it's probably not somebody you're going to have a lot in common with. But people should be able to tell who you are whenever they spend time around you.
Right.
And see how you act and respond. And that's the thing about people. If somebody talks about everybody else whenever they're around you, guess what they do? When they're not around you, they talk about you. And it's the same thing. If you're watching a guy that deals fairly and honestly and just with folks, you can pretty much expect that whenever he does dealings with you. People can hide who they are for a period of time, but after a while it does come out. And I've been thankful for the people that I have learned over the years. Sometimes it's more painful than others, but we got to be watching, and you can't make excuses for people. Whenever you see a pattern, and when somebody does this and does that and does this, you, just because you like them, you can't make excuses for them, and try to let it go, because that is truly who they are if they keep doing it.
Well, look at our own journey. You know, last time I seen you in Bronson, you know, you're pretty toxic. And then a few years went by and you called me and I said, wow, something changed with him. And you did a little self-examination. But you see, this is the thing. We're going to fight this system. And you ain't, you know, you got to be humble enough to fight this system. And that's mean, you know, I sell fertilizer for a living, basically. And I learned a long time ago, you got to be willing to stand behind that manure spreader and take it if you're going to be a salesman. And that's the same with Christianity. You got to be able to take it. Because they can see when people want to know what you're really made out of. You know, take my own experience. You know, I go up here on Fruit Ridge, and you know, I was going down this road with us. I just started selling. And them guys seemed like they were pretty cruel to me, but they weren't. They just said, do you know what you're talking about or not? That's what they were saying. And once I realized that, They taught me as much as I taught them. So, but people want to know what you're made out of. And, you know, they want to know if you're real, because there's so much phony, it's pretty hard to find anybody real anymore.
Well, and that's why I've never needed any help being mad. I got that under control. But if you walk around just angry at everything that's going on, and you're unapproachable, and you're not doing anything about it, or you're pretty useless. And it doesn't do any good for us to just be stirred up and angry all the time. We need to be working to do something. Yeah, I mean, you need to show disapproval, and sometimes it's time to chop the head off a statue and deal with wherever that takes you. I mean,
right.
I'm not saying not, but if he just saw that statue, if the guy just saw that statue and got mad about it and went on, nothing would have changed. And
well, you know, I went through that same thing. I'm just a couple steps ahead of you, Josh, but I did a message down in Bronson, where's the joy? And that message was for me. Where's my joy? You know, it's the gospel, it's the good news. Where's my joy? But I was ticked off all the time, you know, and going to make things right, just, you know, but that don't work. It just don't work, you know, and the problem is my own, not yours. So, yeah, where's the joy? That was profound for me at the time. Still is.
And another thing that you helped me to see is you can't go back to yesterday. And you got to, when we pray, and we pray for Jesus to apply that blood to each of us every day to cleanse us of those sins, you put to death that old guy that you were yesterday. You put to death those mistakes that you made yesterday. Still learn from them, take the lesson with you, but you can't keep beating yourself with those mistakes, because that's not going to fix anything. That's not going to do anything but hold you back. And I fought with that for a long time, and still make mistakes, but you got to let go of that and, you know, go back to that saying, whatever, you know, dead guy did that. That's not something that I can, I don't say take responsibility for, but that's not who I am. We're still responsible, and we got to deal with the consequences of our sin to some extent. Other times, you know, God shows us that grace that we don't deserve, and he lets us out of it. But you can't get angry and bitter whenever you do have to deal with some of the consequences of your mistakes. You just got to take it and be thankful for today and where you're at and move on.
Well, you think about Jesus. He owns the cattle on the thousand hills, and he come down here and took the flack like you never. We don't even know what it was like to take the flack that he did, and he laid down his life for us. And he could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. You know, we got to work that into our personality. But he didn't. You could be 100% right, and what good does it do? I'm holding a cup in my hand right now that Jason got me. Oh, is strong. Because I said to him once, I said, yeah, Jason, you always got to leave somebody with a little hope. And he sent me this cup, and I drink out of it every day. And that's how it all happened. We've got to leave people with some hope. You know, if I say something, I don't know if that's exactly right. Hey, you got to be careful. It could be a lot worse. Keep your chin up, you know. And that's true, but I ain't necessarily giving them what they need to hold. But, yeah, we have to go on. Yeah, we have it as a journey. You know, you take Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah. They're all gone. They died just like everybody else. But look at what they did for us, you know. And then we can do this in a little way, too. Just look at what they did for us, you know. Sometimes the truth really hurts.
You know, I put Pastor Peters in that list, you know, of what all he did for me, what all he taught me. And did God need him? No. He could have used anybody. We know that sometimes he will use an ass, and that's fairly relevant, you know. But Pastor Peter chose to follow him and do his work and be in his will. And it was a blessing to me and to each of us and to a lot of folks out there. And he's still bearing fruit. So it doesn't just affect you whenever you choose to line up and be where God would have you to be. It affects your family and your community and can your whole country. So I'm thankful for the sacrifice that he made and the licks he took. And I don't think if we went back, I don't think he'd have changed a thing, because that wasn't what was meant.
Well, pride and self-pity is about the worst thing you could ever have in your life. You know, poor me, you know. Well, yeah, then I look how poor Jesus had it, and then I don't make no difference. It just makes no difference, because he was an example, and self-pity is very destructive.
But I think about, or have thought a lot in the past of, you know, why he had to, why it was time for him to leave or what have you. And, you know, I don't say it's our fault, but I know that it was a lot more comfortable on the teat, and I did a lot less whenever all I had to do was sit there like a baby bird in the nest with my mouth open waiting for him to give me something. And whenever he left, we all had to grow up and step up and be men more. And that's what our job was, and it's in God's timing, and hopefully we continue to grow and keep everything moving and moving forward. Don't make us miss him any less, but I say, you know, in my opinion, part of it is, you know, he had to leave because we wouldn't step up and do what we were supposed to be doing while he was here. And I know I'm guilty of it, and I've seen others that were too.
Amen to that.
Well, I'll tell you, faith is like a tree. If it ain't growing, it's dying. So.
Yeah, and Paul, like you mentioned earlier about hope, that's what we do. We should leave people, give them hope. You know, that's what this ministry gave me so many years ago and continues to, is hope that it's not all lost, that it's not all just dependent on those antichrists over in the sandbox and what they decide to do. It gives me hope. It always has, that his word is true, and that he remembers us, right? And he doesn't abandon us, and there is truth in his word, and we have to do that. We have to share that hope and give other people hope, because apart from the true Christ, it is hopeless. It is hopeless out there. It really is. See, the phone's ringing. Let's see if we got time for one more call. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, brother. This is Terry from Warrensburg.
Good morning, Terry.
I've been watching the sun through the trees, beautiful sight in my tent here. And I'm enjoying the conversation this morning. I do every morning. God bless you for bringing all the things you do. I don't watch TV. I don't listen to the mainstream news. But on the Hagman Report, you see how Biden has dressed up the inside of the White House?
Oh, yeah. It's just
how thick is that?
It's ridiculous.
I
it is.
I mean, when I was watching it, I couldn't. Oh, man.
But what should we expect, right? What should we expect?
Anyway, you know.
It's just
anyway,
world.
Amen. But you know, Richard, I'm looking forward to for that manna that's coming down from God. I don't have to have food. I've been without food for over a week, without water for over a week, so I know how to survive like that. And if an elephant can eat grass, you know, but the largest animal on the earth, I mean, come on, we can eat grass, right? But manna, it has
prefer
everything
steak,
that we need.
Truthfully.
That's right.
Now, you know, I hear people worried about, oh, what are we going to eat and everything? I'm trying to wake up my brother to what's going on. They're still, you know, in the dark, don't know what's going on. And, yeah, I try my best to, you know, bring Christ, but, I just have to hope that they will. At least my mom and dad, I know they're in heaven. Because when I lived, we were visited with my parents, I brought my mother to Christ. And then we said, yeah, you know, come to church with us and, you know, just come one time. Don't want to go again. Fine. He ended up being baptized, too.
All right, Terry. Well, you stay warm out there, buddy. Have a good weekend. Right. Thanks for the call.
I have two little heaters, you know, and I've got one set on 77 and the other one at 90, and I got the flap open on my 10 here. It's still warm in here.
All right, brother. Thank you. You God bless.
That's awesome.
Amen.
Richard, Paul and Richard, y'all were talking about the hope, and it was leaving people with a little hope. Let me think about that. If you're listening to a program, whether it's from a good guy or a mainstream news, conservative or whatever, and they're giving you a message that steals your hope and, you know, a no-win, Pastor Peter said, it's a long face, they could eat oatmeal out of a boot. If you're listening to a message that takes all of your hope and makes it to where you can't see a way out, that's probably not good for you, or it's not good
that's
for
right.
you.
It's not.
And that's not in line with God's word, and you need to turn that mess off, because there's always hope. We're still on the right side of the grass, and Jesus Christ made that sacrifice for us so that we can not only survive but prosper, and we are the heirs of the kingdom, so there's always hope, and we should be happy in our walk every day.
Amen. You ever need hope?
Yeah, let me finish the verse that on this cup. Hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Hebrews 6:19. You know, we got to have hope. You know, it just is. If we don't have hope, you know, that's when suicide and stuff takes over, alcohol and all the other things. So, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places, the song says. And but when we have hope in Jesus Christ, then we can, you know, whatever the future holds, it's ours, you know. And he might try us. I read in Amy the other day, yeah, he repented, but you're still got to pay for the sin, you know, and that's true. America's got to pay for its sin, for its one horn after other gods, you know. That Washington, D.C. has become a god because they hand out paper, you know, stuff like that, and they just hand out left and right, and everybody's, oh, that's good. And people think if they have enough money, they can beat anything. Well, the time is going to come, and has happened in the past, when they throw their money in the streets because they can't get food.
That's
right. And God does that. I mean, that happened in Germany and stuff like that. Your money is like gasoline. It really vaporizes, especially this day and age, when, you know, gas is $3-$4 a gallon. You know, it used to be 50 cents, and inflation has been going on for a long time. So, but it's God turning up the heat to make us turn back to him, and we're going to. It's probably be a remnant. I don't know how many it'll be, but they're out there, just like that guy that went to the state capitol and did that damage. God bless him.
That's right.
We need more people like that.
Don't let anybody steal your hope.
That's right.
Nobody.
That's right. That's what Jesus came for. He says, I came to bring life and life abundant. Now, that gives me hope. That's something that we can, you know, that's that gift that we can have. We can choose him and choose to have not just life, but abundant life. And the exact opposite of that is what the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. To steal your hope, to kill your joy and your hope. And it's a choice. It's a choice. And the people out there, the majority of them, they just don't know. They're like those of Nineveh. They don't know their right hand from their left. They call themselves Christians. They claim Judeo-Christianity, which is blasphemy. And they don't even know why. They just don't understand it. And therefore, most of them have lost hope. Paul, like you said, suicides and these fentanyl deaths, and it's just it suicide rates highest last year since the 40s. Now, that's not a blessing. That's not a blessing on a nation, and it's because they've lost hope. But we have hope in Christ. We know that His word is true, and there's some, again, like you said, Josh, that guy in Iowa, hey, they're out there. They're out there. Well, guys, we are out of time. Thank you so much for taking time this morning to encourage the remnant, and it's been a good morning. Hope you guys have a great weekend. And remnant, we want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can join us starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and 7:30 on the West Coast. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. Click on the live video stream, and we'll, good Lord willing, we're planning on being there with a review of the news, a timeless pulpit truth, and a new message for you as well, and give you the opportunity to partake of communion. And tomorrow is a 91st day. It's the 17th. It brings in winter. It's a Sabbath between the seasons. And so we hope that you can take that day as a Sabbath as well. God bless. We'll see you at church tomorrow.